It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Glad to have all of you here today. Thank you for choosing Northview to be a part of our worship this morning. If you will, turn with us to the book of Exodus. We want to continue our study that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks on uniqueness. Uniqueness. Our theme has been that I am uniquely me. I am uniquely me. God created every one of us individually. We are a workmanship of His hand, a creation of God. When He created you with a divine purpose. He created you because He needed you and someone else needs you. You were created for the purpose of God. Isn't that wonderful? I am uniquely me. Tell that one to the one beside of you. I am uniquely me.
Amen.
It's okay to be you. God made you. In Exodus chapter 2, we're reading about a man by the name of Moses that we all recognize him for the great thing he did in leading the children of Israel. But when you go back into his past and even his beginning, you understand that in order to be unique, you must learn to deal with the struggle. There is a struggle in being you. There is a tremendous pressure today to be something other than you. But God created you to be you because He didn't need we, He needed you. He didn't need us, He needed you. You and God together is a majority. Amen? If God be for you, then who in the world can stand against you? Amen? But in order to be who we are, there's things we need to learn and there's a struggle. We won't talk about that today. In Exodus chapter 2, I want to pick up on verse 11. Sometime in your study, read all that, but it's very, very interesting. But beginning in verse 11, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, 24 hours later, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Two guys are fighting. And he said, who made you a prince and judge over us? These are some powerful scriptures right here in the life of Moses. Intendest thou to kill me as thou did the Egyptian? Now 24 hours, he's just killed a man. He hid him. He didn't think anybody knew. Now he's trying to confront an issue here, stop them from fighting. They turn on him and say, who do you think you are? And then one of them says, are you going to kill me like you did that guy yesterday? And look what it says, and Moses feared. And he said, surely this thing is known. Because he's saying, I didn't think nobody knew. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs with water to their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up. Now he's running away. He's at a well. These ladies come in. They're getting water for their flock. These shepherds come in. They run the ladies away. And Moses stands up and fights for them. In verse 18, and when it came to rule their father, he said, how is it that you came so soon today? In other words, why are you back so early? And they said an Egyptian, he looked like Egyptian, but he was a Hebrew. I'll get into that in just a minute. This Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water for us and watered our flock. And the father said, go find that man. Go get that man. And he said, his daughters, where is he? He's willing to work. You better go get him. Why is it that he left this? Why is it that you left it? That's good. Why'd you leave him? He working. Go get him. That's a daddy talking right there. First question daddy's asked, you got a job? Bring him on in here and we're going to feed this boy. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. I reckon so. And he gave, now this is a pretty good deal here. You give a cup of water, you get a wife. That's the deal right there. Zipporah, his daughter. Now with a name like that, I don't know how she looked, but anyhow, he got him. And she bare him a son, and then it goes on and on and on. But look at the last part of verse 22. He said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. But verse 14, I want you to catch that. Let's go back. I love every word because that's the way you got to go back and read it slow. And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Now, we talked about last week about Moses, about his beginnings. You know, he was born. His mother put him in a little bulrush. You remember that? Because it was a decree that all the male children would be killed. God protected him even then because God had a plan for his life, just like you are here today, not by chance, but by providence of God. When you look back over your past, you may have been through a lot of things. You say, how in the world did I come through that? Because God had his hand on you. And aren't you glad you serve a God today that still has his hand on you? I'm so glad that I serve a God that is touched with who I am and what I need. But when you begin to understand Moses' life, he was very, very confused. He was born a Hebrew, raised an Egyptian. Now, the raising of Egyptian was a blessing to some way because he got a great education. He was now an intellectual man. He was an educated man. He was well-groomed. He wore the priestly garments or the prince garments of his day. But yet, deep down, he was very, very confused. And in the midst of this confusion, he's standing there one day. Now he's become an older man. And he looks out and he sees two guys fighting. An Egyptian and a Hebrew. Now, as we read this story, it would seem to us that it was just a happen chance. But no, that's not the case because God was wanting to reveal to him the battle that was going on inside of him. I want you to understand that God has called every one of us to make a difference. I want you to get that. I want you to, because I want to tell you something. And I love you because I got to tell you the truth. Every one of us will stand before God and give an account of our life. Every one of us will stand and give an account of our life. And God will say, I called you for this. What did you do? That's serious. That's very serious. Moses had an opportunity to choose his pedigree or his surroundings. His pedigree was that he was a Hebrew, but his surroundings were that he was an Egyptian. Very confusing because when you looked at him, you saw an Egyptian. But his heart was different. Every one of us are products of our environment. Our environment is very, very critical to who we become. Now you understand why the enemy attacks the home so bad, don't you? Because your environment creates you. And he's standing there and he's got all of this royalty, but inside he is a mess. Inside he is a storm. Inside, he's raging. Have you ever felt like you were pressured into being something that you are not? Have you ever gave in to prayer pressure before? Have you ever done things and really didn't have the heart in it, but you done it because you were forced to do it? Let me go a little bit further. Have you ever done anything and you really didn't want to do it, but you done it because you were worried about what others might think if you don't do it? Now, am I where we live? Am I where we live now? So we do it, but our heart's not in it. So that's sort of like Moses was not saved in the bull rush because he was a good old guy. God had a plan for Moses. God said, I'm going to use him one day to deliver the people. Deliver my nation. What an awesome task. God knew that from the beginning. But inside of Moses, he's so confused. So he's standing there and he sees these guys fighting. And out of the blue, he just goes, kills the guy. He kills the guy. And he buries him. He kills the Egyptian. Now that is a symbol of rage in him. I don't want to be an Egyptian, but everybody says I'm Egyptian. So God just presents this opportunity. And who does he kill? He kills the Egyptian. Have you ever had a bad day with somebody? You just kill them? You feel like it. You feel like it. Well, he did more than feel like it. He just had a bad day, just slew the guy right there. These are people God uses now. Keep on now, because sometimes we think, well, I've just messed up. Let me tell you what. God knew Moses was going to do this before he ever created him, for he ever made him. He knew and still knew that God was going to use him to lead the people out. Isn't that awesome? Don't we serve an awesome God? He kills this guy, but really what he's doing, he's trying to kill the inside. So I got five things I want to give you real quick this morning. And you know, real quick don't mean nothing. Number one, the struggle with uniqueness is, number one, you got to learn to deal with frustration. You got to learn to deal with, let me give you this. This is good right here. The test of greatness is the ability to survive frustration. Great leaders are men and women of difficulty. Great leaders are men and women who know what it is to pay a price. Leadership is not given, it is earned. Have you ever had a so-called leader, a boss man or whatever, that you had to obey him because he was the boss, but you didn't respect him? See, in order for you to be what God has called you to be, you have got to learn to deal with frustration, because just because God has called you to be different, and listen, when God calls you to be different, being different is not easy. Not being a yes man is difficult. Amen? It is all right to have your opinion. But how many times have we held our opinion back because it wasn't the opinion of everybody else? I'm building something here. He walks out, kills this guy. He buries him. The Bible said he looked to the left, he looked to the right. He didn't see nobody. There ain't no popo around. And he kills him. He buries him with sand. 24 hours later, I mean, if it had been me, I'd be going crazy. Oh my God, I killed this man. He's just having a normal day. And he sees these two guys out here fighting, and he goes and tries to break the fight up. This man is bad. Moses is bad now. I done killed a guy yesterday. I'm going to start the day fresh. Amen. So he sees these two guys fighting, and he goes over there and says, "Hey, break it up, break it up." And one, and they turn on him. They turn on him. They say, "Who do you think you are? Who called you to be a prince?" That was not by happen chance. God wanted him to hear that. God called him to be a prince. But he was so confused, he did not know who he was. And he says, "Who called you to be a prince?" Let me tell you this. You got to learn to deal with frustration because, listen, uniqueness, you got to get this part right here. It takes time to develop uniqueness. God called David to be the king. He was anointed king, openly, ceremonially anointed to be king. What was the next thing he did? He went right back to the sheep. It takes time to be unique. It takes time to find out who you are. And you have to put all the voices aside. Let me tell you how you can tell if you are really who you say you are. When God begins to move in your life, or you have an important decision to make, who's the first one you ask? Do you ask God? Or do you get on the phone? If you get on the phone first, it is more important to you what others think than what God thinks. Now stay with me. You still love me? Half of you do. Amen. Okay. Because when you worry about what people think, it will frustrate you and hinder you to the point that if you're not careful, you will give up. But when God tells you to do something, guess what? Newsflash. He's not concerned what they think. Uniqueness is saying, "God, I am wonderfully and made by you. And I want you to use me." And the guy says, "Are you going to kill me like you killed the other guy?" Number one, you got to deal with frustration. Number two, you got to understand intimidation. Moses is standing there. He's God called to be a deliverer, to be a leader. He's frustrated. He don't really know who he is. And this guy says, "Who do you think you are, a prince? And then he says, "Are you going to kill me like you did the other guy?" And what does the word say? He feared. When you decide to stand alone and be unique, you will deal with frustration because everyone will not receive your gift. Everyone will not appreciate you or your stand. What America needs right now is strong leaders. I want to hear a leader say, "God told me to do this, and that's what I'm going to do." I love history. They said if you want to know who Benjamin Franklin was, he was a little short, stout, red-headed man. They said if you want to know who he was at the beginning of conference, he was the little short, stout man that would get in the aisleway and get on his knees and pray. That's the kind of leader I want. Amen. Well, what would they think? What would they think if I pray? Who cares? What does God think? Amen. God is our source. Amen. God is saying, "America, I want you to understand the times that America is going through right now has not taken God by surprise. And He is calling for men and women to stand and be who He made them. Not if it's politically correct. Not if everybody agrees with it or not. Everybody is not going to agree with it. So go ahead and deal with that frustration." "Well, I want everybody to like me." Well, if you want everybody to like you, you will never be effective. Amen? We want everybody to like us. Can you even imagine somebody not liking me? Can you even imagine that? It blows my mind. Well, there's a few. There's a few. And you know what I have found out? The reason people don't like you, because you don't agree with them. So when you don't agree with them, and you're going to get all mad at me because I don't agree with you, that means that my relationship with you is valued on if I'd say yes all the time. But I'm not going to say yes all the time because I am a human being, and I have a mind, and I have a will, and I have responsibilities, and there's times when I've got to stand. And the word said, when you stand, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But fear, I thought I was going to be able to finish this, but I probably won't this morning. But I just want you to get this. I feel this in my spirit. You're going to have to learn to deal with fear. And here's what Moses does. He runs. He runs to a place called Midian. And here's what he says. I'm tired of the Hebrews. I'm tired of trying to take care of them. I'm tired of trying to be this leader. I'm tired of trying to be Superman. I'm just going to be like everybody else. Compromise is a terrible thing. Don't you ever teach your children to compromise. If you're the only one in your classroom that bows your heads and says your blessing over your food, then honey, you bow your head and you say your blessing. Amen? You pray. If no one else wants to pray, don't worry about them. You pray. Amen? They might take the Ten Commandments off the walls, and they might put policemen in the halls, and they might tell me I can't do this, and they might tell me I can't do that, but I am a human being, and if I want to bow my head and pray, I can pray. Amen. 40 years Moses lives with the Midians. I'm just going to chill out. He finds another woman over there. He has a family. And everything is, he's just normal. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't normal. Some of y'all have been waiting for this, so here's your chance. Look at the woman beside him and say, you're not normal. Go ahead. Some of y'all have been waiting for that. You've been waiting for that. The word said we're peculiar people. So here's the story. He's compromised. He knew what God called him to be. He knew his life was different. But nobody wants it. Let's face it, nobody cares. It's going to cause too much trouble. It's going to stir up too much. Just chill out. And everything was good. That was good. That was working. That was working for him. Till the next part is, number three, you must deal with an inward passion. You know, I can get away from a lot of voices, but I can't get away from God's voice. You ever try? You know, God's calling you to do something, and you say, I don't know. You just kind of push it off. You kind of push it off. But every now and then, it comes back around, doesn't it? Everything was going good. Can you stay with me 10 more minutes? Yeah. Three of you can. Thank you. Number three. You must deal with an inward passion. And I wrote this down. God gave me this and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. You are an original creation. You're an original. I love old cars. And I love to go to car shows and see cars that are just old cars that are just, that's exactly what they were. They're original. I love original. God made you who you are. And everything was good. Moses was not called to live in Midian for 40 years. So everything's good. Then he comes up on the desert one day, and there's a burning bush. Now, we remember that story, don't we, about Moses and the burning bush. Let me tell you what's going on with the burning bush. What's going on with the burning bush is it's not unique. It's not unique that bush is burning in the desert because it gets so hot that a bush would just, it'll just catch on fire. But what's unique about this one is it's not being consumed. Moses is 40 years old now. He's blessed. He's educated. His name means to pull out. He's been set aside for a plan of God, but he's confused. And he makes a decision to go forward. He makes a decision. And the bush is burning. And he's sitting there looking at the bush. And the Bible is so beautiful when you read and study it. It says he turned aside to see. He turned aside to see. Boy, that's beautiful. That's beautiful right there. The fire would not go away. And he's standing there looking at this bush burning. And it's burning. And the Bible says he turns aside to see. Not that the bush was on fire, because he's used to seeing that. He's in the desert. But this bush was different. He turns aside to see. And he's looking at the bush, and the whole time he's looking at the bush is looking at him. He says, and the bush starts speaking to him. What's up with you? Moses says, what's up with you? The bush says, what's up with you? You're on fire. The bush says back to Moses, you are too. You got a passion inside of you that can't go out. Moses said, you're not consumed. And I like this part. Bush says, you ain't either. You got a call on your life. Yes, you struggle. Yes, you go through pain. Yes, you go through all those things. Boy, I feel as an honor here today. But you're not consumed. Moses, Moses. What, you remember the story? Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now, every time you see the Bible speak of two words like that, Moses, Moses, that's a serious moment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses, Moses, Joshua, Joshua, that is an indicative of covenant. One writer put it like this: God never repents when he calls. You've heard that sort of the scripture where it says that God won't repent when he calls you. The calling of God is without repentance, is how it goes. What that means is God's not sorry that he called you. You might not be doing what he's called you to do, but he's not sorry he called you. He called you to do. How many of you know when God calls you to do something, it's there? You don't have to do it. And the bush speaks out, and so it says, and here's what one writer said. I never saw this before, but he said it was a covenant echo. Because when Moses was spoken from heaven, it came down and echoed back to heaven. Moses, Moses. Joshua, Joshua. Verily, verily, I say unto you. God said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. He's saying to Moses, I got a work for you to do. And I want to say to you today, you precious, precious people, God has called this church for a reason. 50 years, we're about to celebrate a 50-year anniversary here. 50 years of ministry. If some of those original members were here today, I would like to ask them, was it easy? No. Was it difficult? Yes. Did anyone ever talk about you? Did anyone ever say anything negative? Were you ever tempted to compromise? But I can stand here today, 50 years later, and say, I'm glad they didn't, aren't you? Because we got a place to come and worship on Sunday mornings. We got a place to call our church home. We got a place to come and be a light. And I'm going to close with this statement. God is calling us to be who we are. Now, I don't know what God's called you to do, but I know He's called you to do something. You can do one or two things. You can run to Midian and hide out and compromise and just be like everybody else. You know, I see some people go to church, and then I ask them, they say, man, did you go to church today? Yeah, I asked a guy at work the other day, Sunday, he says, did you go to church? I said, yeah, you know I go to church. They know I'm a preacher. And good. I said, what'd you preach on? I tell him. I said, well, what'd you preach on? I can't remember. Like Barney, I believe it was about sin. Amen, I believe it was about sin. And I think, you know, that's the normal case. Kind of go in, just kind of go out. My life's going to come to an end one day. And I hope and pray that every one of y'all can come to my funeral. But I hope that what is said at my funeral is not a bunch of flowery words, anything like that. But I hope I'm remembered for somebody who found my place and did what I was called to do. Because I want you to know right now, I don't want to be known as somebody just part of the crowd. I want to be different. I don't want to be different just for different sakes, because you know what? That's just weird. Difference for different sake is weird. But when somebody steps out of a cloud or out of a crowd, we get electricity, we get telephones, we get surgery now that takes minutes where it used to take hours. You remember the first heart surgeries they used to do? Took hours. Now it's just like that. Somebody had to say, you know what? I think it can be done different. I think it can be done different. And when God puts a dream inside of you, He never said it would be easy. It is not easy in this last day, but I tell you today, I'm not going to stand here and tell you about how bad America is and what all is going on. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. But I can tell you this. God did not make a mistake when He put me and you here in this last day. And God is saying, if you will hear the burning bush call, if you will find your place and be what I've called you to be, I will make you strong. I will make you a light. I will make you firm. God wants to do that for this church. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You are uniquely you. But I can tell you this. The fire's not going to go out. I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know what your place is. But it's not in Midian. Your place is to be effective. As your heads are bowed now, eyes are closed. I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you, if you will, please. As we close in prayer, our prayer today is that we'll make a difference. That we'll make a difference in somebody's life. Father, we've come this morning and we have shared your word to the best of our ability. Lord, I know that it is easy and comfortable just to be a part of the crowd. But you didn't call us to be that. You didn't call us just to kind of go with the flow. You called us to create the flow. Now, Lord, when you made every single person in this church this morning, you had a reason for them to be here. God, if they don't know that reason, I pray that they'll stop and they'll listen to you and that you'll give them guidance and wisdom and direction on where to go and how to do it and how to find that place. God, I know that your hand is upon us all. And in this last day, when our nation is apparently crumbling under peer pressure, help us to stand and to be a beacon in this last day. Help us, God, to know in whom we have believed and am persuaded that you're able. So when we're confronted with frustration, when we're confronted with intimidation, when we are confronted with fear, we will stand and say, but my God shall supply all our needs. Father, we put our hand in your hand this morning, and we want to leave here, God, motivated, not by man's words, but by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Guide and direct us this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are uniquely you. Amen.